Okay, one more time. Perek Vav, Divrei Hayamim Beis, Perek Vav, Pasuk Yutes, Ufonisa El Tfilas Avdecha, V'El Techina Sada. Before we do this Pasuk, I want to just briefly go back and discuss a few ideas that I've come across from the Mishpitzei Zohar, this wonderful Sefer. This Sefer really is on Sefer Melachim, but I'm able to cross-reference many of the Tzukim in Sefer Divrei Hayamim with Sefer Melachim. And in fact, very often he compares in Sefer Melachim what it says in Sefer Divrei Hayamim, and he has some comments, some interesting ideas. This Sefer is a collection of an anthology, a Likut. He also has some original ideas. There's one beautiful idea that he presented a few Tzukim back, where David, where Shlomo says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you promised my father David that he would have a son that would succeed him and would fill his role in building the Beis HaMikdash. We learned this yesterday, that Hashem's David was the one who had the plan to build the Beis HaMikdash. And you know, David gave over the plan to Nosson HaNavi. Nosson HaNavi said, it's an excellent plan, but Hashem does not want you to build it. Instead, you'll have a son that will build it, and in reward for your kavana, your good intent, I guarantee you that your children will always be kings in Klal Yisrael. So, what?
If they behave,
yes. He makes that point. Like this, we learned yesterday. Pasuk Ches and Pasuk Tes. V'yemar Hashem el David Avi Yana Shehoya im Levavcha Livna Spais Lishmi Hetivosa Ki Hoya im Levavcha. It was an excellent thought, that which was in your heart. Rak Atolay Sivne Habayis Ki Vincha Hayotze Mechalotzech Hu Yivne Habayis Lishmi. And Pasuk he goes on to say that V'yakim Hashem Estevar Asher Diber. Hashem fulfilled His promise, His word, and indeed, my Shlomo took the place of his father and built the Beis HaMikdash. So here, in the Mishpitzos, he says something in the name of the Sfas Emes. What he does is, he takes a Sfas Emes, and this is an original idea. The Mechaber's name is Rabbi Weiss. I believe he lives in Yerushalayim, if I'm not mistaken. Shapsi Weiss. Okay, what he does is, he compares David and Shlomo to Moshe and Yehoshua. Moshe desperately wanted to enter into Eretz Yisrael and participate in the Kibush Eretz. What did Hashem say to Moshe? No, you will not enter. Absolutely not. Instead, who will take your place? Yehoshua. Yehoshua, he will go before the people and he will conquer the land. Now, what's the deeper idea? What is this? The Sfas Emes explains what's the deeper kavan of Moshe and Yehoshua, Hashem's response, the dialogue between Moshe and Hashem, and his response. So the Sfas Emes explains, based upon the Mori Chazal, that Moshe Rabbeinu would have entered Eretz Yisrael, would have conquered the land, then it would have been a permanent kibush. It would have been the Kedusha. Moshe would have sanctified the land with such an intense degree of spirituality that basically we would not be able to leave. And if Chas V'Shalom, Klal Yisrael would in the future generations sin, Hashem would have no choice but to destroy Klal Yisrael rather than destroy Eretz Yisrael. So instead Hashem said, you therefore cannot enter. Instead, we're going, Yeshua is not on your exalted spiritual level. He will enter Eretz Yisrael. And then there'll be hope, there'll be an insurance plan, that just in case Klal Yisrael sins, if they sin, then the Kedusha will not be as intense as it would have been if you would have sanctified it. Then if they'll sin, I'll be able to destroy the land, basically bring a churban to the land, and your children will survive. Klal Yisrael will go into Golus and they will survive. Now, where do we have the exact same idea that's expressed in much more common to hear this concept? David and Shlomo. We learned this many times. Hashem said, David, one of the reasons, we have a whole long list of reasons why Hashem did not allow David HaMelech to build the Beis HaMikdash, and one of the top reasons given by Chazal is David would have built the Beis HaMikdash. The sanctity would have been so great, would have been so holy, then it could not possibly be destroyed. And thus, if Klal Yisrael would sin, the only solution would be that Klal Yisrael would have to be destroyed. Therefore, Hashem said it's much better that Shlomo build the Beis HaMikdash, which will have a lesser degree of sanctity, which now will be susceptible to Chorban, and that way, in the event that your children sin, they will go to God. The Mikdash, Hashem will pour out His anger on the bricks and stones of the Beis HaMikdash, and your descendants, Klal Yisrael, will survive. That idea, according to the Sfasemes, is rooted in Moshe and Yoshua. Because the land also needs sanctification. Kiddush Aretz, we learned this concept, this is a very popular concept in the Gemara, that Moshe Rabbeinu gave the land sanctity. Before, now the land did not automatically have sanctity. The land was promised to the Avos, but the one that was Mekadesh, it's a very powerful concept. And not everyone, I think, appreciates this concept. We think that the land was given, was sanctified already from the time of Avram Avinu. That's not necessarily so. There's something called Kibush, there's something called Kiddush Rishon Kitchel Shaita. What do you learn from that? That the land had no Kedusha. The land, it was promised, it was designated, this land of Canaan is going to be designated for, given to the Avos, Hashem promised it to the Avos, Avraham, Yitzchak, V'Yakov, but it did not have Kedusha until Moshe Rabbeinu actually sanctified the land. If Moshe, or Yoshua, Klal Yisrael sanctified the land in the Kibush Rishon, if Moshe himself would have given it Kedusha, then no harm can come to the land. The land is sacred. Everything has to operate in the level of perfection. It's not good. Because Klal Yisrael is not totally in the land. Klal Yisrael, they have to do the mitzvahs. And if Klal Yisrael sin, and they contaminate the land, so someone's got to go. Who's going to go?
If the land had Kedusha,
then the land...
an inducement for Klal Yisrael to sin less.
It's not, it doesn't work that way. This person still has Bechir HaChavshas. And if the land would have been sanctified by Moshe, the intensity of Kedusha would have been so great, ultimately Klal Yisrael would have sinned. They could not maintain that status, that Kedusha. They would have sinned. And then someone's got to go. It's either the land's going to be destroyed, or the people are going to be destroyed. So what's the end? The end, Hashem said, Moshe, if you're going to give it Kedusha, then the balance of the balance of power is going to be such that the people are going to be destroyed. The land will remain in its Kedusha, and the people will be destroyed. That's not the ultimate good. The ultimate good is, let the land be Charav, there'll be a Churban to the land, and the people will survive. Yeah?
So the Sfasemis' reason, is that a primary reason for Moshe not going in as versus... The Torah gives you...
Excellent question. I am Panim L'Torah. There's the Meraglim, and there's the Meraglim, that's right, and there is also the Chayt Moshe, he hit Me'mariv, he hit the stone. There are different dimensions to why Moshe did not go. I am Panim L'Torah. Let's, for the moment, put the other reasons aside. Obviously, the Torah says you hit the rock. That's why you're not going in. But there are other factors that contributed to what influenced Moshe, why he hit the rock. And there are many things which came together, converged, to contribute to why Moshe did not enter the land. This is one, we're now focusing just on this reason. So this is what this fast is. So it comes out that this concept of David and Shlomo really has a precedent in Moshe and Yeshua. Now it goes a step further. This is a beautiful idea of the Sfasemes. It goes a step further. However, Moshe Rabbeinu, when he came to the end of his life, Parashas Veschanan, Moshe was mispal Ebrona ve'ereh es oretz hatoiva hazos. Moshe really was mispal. There were two requests. Moshe said, "I know you don't want me to go in, this and that. I don't care. I still want to go. I want to go. I'm being mispal to make things work out." And Moshe, if we look carefully at the Pesukim, it was a double request. Let me pass. I'm going to turn this thing off, because this thing is not... not sure what's the story with this thing. Is the battery, or is it the... I don't know what this is. Okay. Moshe had a double request. Let me pass through the land, let me enter, and let me see the land. I want to see the land. I want to see the land. So how did Hashem respond to Moshe's request?
He took a dog.
Hashem said, Tefillah oisa mechsa. Chazal said that Tefillah does half. You can't enter, but I will let you see the land. Hashem told Moshe to go to the top of the mountain, and you can see, and that's what it says in the end of the Zos HaBracha. Zos HaBracha, Hashem showed him all the different pieces of land. We learned some diukim about this, the kikar, and so on and so forth. Moshe saw the entire land. What did Moshe Rabbeinu accomplish by seeing Eretz Yisrael? The answer is, according to the Sfas Emes, he gave it a degree of Kedusha, just by seeing, but not so much actual Kedusha, but a yearning, an appreciation of what the land is all about. That is what Moshe Rabbeinu accomplished by him looking at the land. By standing on top of the mountain and seeing the land, Moshe accomplished that he was mashrish, it's a Kabbalistic concept, in Klal Yisrael, a full appreciation of the value of Eretz Yisrael, the Kedusha of the land. Not the actual Kedusha, but the value to appreciation. Therefore, that is why, after there was a Churban, the Bayis Rishon was destroyed, and we were sent to exile in Bavel, and after the Churban Bayis Sheni, we find that for 2,000 years, Klal Yisrael has this incredible yearning to return to Eretz Yisrael. There's just unbelievable tshuka of Lashon HaBa B'Yerushalayim. Where does that come from? What?
But they had problems getting people to go back.
Okay, in Echnami, although they did actually go because of the Yetzirah, they had good lives, they had safety and security, but still, there is, you cannot deny that it's rooted in Klal Yisrael, in our DNA, a yearning to return to Eretz Yisrael. A Jew belongs in Eretz Yisrael. Lashon HaBab Yerushalayim, that's where we all feel that we belong. Where does that come from? The Sfas Emes says, that comes from Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu's look, his view of the land, put into Klal Yisrael an appreciation of its worth that is nitzchi, that is beyond our understanding. And now the Kedusha was not given by Moshe, because he did not enter. That was given by Yoshua, a lesser Kedusha, and that's why he was susceptible for destruction. But our appreciation is on a level that's beyond anything that we can relate to, that we can really understand in a normal and in al-derech ha-teva, and that comes from Moshe Rabbeinu. So the Mishmetzos goes a step further. Beautiful idea is exactly the same concept when it comes to David and Shlomo. David did not build the Beis HaMikdash. Because if David would have built the Beis HaMikdash, then we would have had to have been destroyed and not the Beis HaMikdash. So Shlomo built the Beis HaMikdash. But because David laid the foundation and David made all the preparations, David gave Klal Yisrael an appreciation of what the Beis HaMikdash is worth, which is Lamala, which is the highest level possible. David HaMelech himself, just like if he would have built it, would not have been destroyed. The appreciation that he gave Klal Yisrael is so great that can never be taken away from us. And even though the base HaMikdash has been destroyed and we are not able to actually go there physically, but we have an appreciation of its value on the highest level possible, going back to David HaMelech. It's a very powerful avart. Let's review the Rosh HaPrakim in 2 seconds. We have this concept of David and Shlomo. Everyone knows that concept. David cannot build it. Shlomo will build it in order to save us. But we have to also understand, David did lay the foundation, and David did make all the preparations. That accomplished something. What did that accomplish? Accomplished in us an appreciation of the Beis HaMikdash, a nitzchistic appreciation. And where is all that rooted in? That whole concept is rooted in the larger picture, Eretz Yisrael, between Moshe and Yehoshua. Moshe did not enter, because then we would have been destroyed, not the Eretz Yisrael. Yehoshua entered, and Yeshua conquered, but Moshe looked at Eretz Yisrael. Moshe gave Klal Yisrael the appreciation of the value of Eretz Yisrael. Okay, that is one powerful idea. Okay, now there's another beautiful idea came across from the Barbanel. See that? See your
mentor, right?
The Barbanel. There's a very, very interesting difference between Divrei Hayamim. The Rabbi Noel says this. The Rabbi Noel says in Melachim. Rabbi Noel says in Melachim. There is no Divrei about the Divrei.
He says it's not valid enough to make a commentary.
That's what he said?
Yeah. He says it at the end of Treyasa. I looked, I thought I was missing a sefer. I didn't know.
Imagine someone
so I looked
saying
up Treyasa at the end, the last page in Malachi.
Yeah.
He says, don't look for my Perisha Divrei Hayamim because it's not going to be there.
Okay.
It wasn't said out there very nevuah.
Right.
So it has no validity.
Ruach HaKodesh, okay. But okay, there is the pasuk here says going back to when David prepares the Beis HaMikdash, Vayakim Devaro. We have pasuk ches and pasuk tes. Rakla sivne. Okay. Okay. Here it is. Pasuk yud aleph. In pasuk yud aleph, it says, "Okay, let's read pasuk yud aleph again." The osim David pasuk ches pasuk tes says that again. We read the context. That Hashem said, you, David, will not build the Beis HaMikdash. Instead, you will have a son, Shlomo, who builds the Beis HaMikdash. Rak atol esivneh b'aboyis. And your son, Shlomo. And then Pasuk Yud goes on to say, indeed, Shlomo HaMelech was born, and Shlomo took the place of his father, David, and Shlomo built the Beis HaMikdash. Pasuk Yud, what did I do? Shlomo HaMelech is speaking. V'asim Shom, I put there, in the Beis HaMikdash, es ha'oroin, the oroin, Asher Shom Bris Hashem, Asher Koras in Bnei Yisrael. Okay? I put there Esan. Let me read you the identical Pasuk, the parallel Pasuk in Sefer Melachim. There is in Perik Ches, Pasuk Chof Aleph. V'asim Shom Mokoim La'oroin. A place for the Aro. Not the Aro. So the Barbel makes a big deal about this. And he says, why in Sefer Melachim does it say the Mokoyim Aron, and why here in Sefer Divrayim does it say Es Aron? So what he basically says, I mean, you can expand upon this in different ways and forms. The Sefer Melachim is part of the Nevi'im. Sefer Divrei Hayamim is not part of the Nevi'im. It's just Ruach HaKodesh. Sefer Divrayim is basically taking Sefer Melachim and removing any element of prophecy and reducing it to the bare bones. In other words, let me just elaborate because I heard someone explain this on a shir, listened to it on a tape. I don't even know who the Magid Shir was. Is Sefer Melachim and Sefer Shmuel are very misleading. In contrast to Sefer Yeshaya and Treyasa and Yecheskel, you learn Sefer Yeshaya. Right away, yes, we learn Sefer Yeshaya here. What? What's going on here? You read a pasuk. The pasuk doesn't seem to really have clarity. And you have to add many layers of interpretation of what it refers to. Why? Because Sefer Yeshaya and Sefer Treyasa, Sefer Yecheskel, these are prophecies. And prophecy, we're talking about the future, we're talking about visions, we're talking about abstract things which are not defined, which are not tangible. Things that are going to happen many years later on. That's Nevuah. That is the nature of Nevuah. Now let's, problem is Sefer Yoshua, Shoftim, Shmuel, and Melachim are also different, also the words of prophecy. But you would never know, because it's a narrative, it's a story. It just, this happened and that happened, and David became king, and there was a fight, and there was a Melchama. Where's the prophecy? Most of Sefer Shmuel, Melachim, Yeshua, Shoftim are just basically telling you nice, interesting stories. But Chazal don't view those Svarim, the Vim Rishonim, as stories, as history. It's not Divrei Hayom, it's not a record of what happened. These are words of prophecy, which means in each story, there are words, hidden gems of prophecy of things that are going to happen in future generations. You just need to know how to interpret the psukim. It's a very big, when it comes to, again, one time, when it comes to Yeshaya and Yecheskel, Treyaser, there's no room to make a mistake. There is no pshat. You can't read the psukim. There are psukim there that you can make. You can say there are stories. This happened, that happened. But rubo de rubo, you immediately appreciate that we're not talking about current. We're not talking about stories that happened in the past. Everything that's being mentioned is a reference to what will happen in the future. A musar, a limud. What's going to appear in the future? In Sefer Melachim and Sefer Shmuel and Sefer Yeshua and Shoftim, you don't get that impression. There, the impression is these are pstur. But that's not true. There are hidden little gems, messages in the Pesukim telling us what's going to happen in the future. And here is one example. When Shlomo HaMelech builds the Beis HaMikdash in Sefer Shmuel, Sefer Melachim, he mentions, I have a revealing a prophecy. It's going to come a point in time when you're not going to have the Aron anymore. The Aron is going to be put in Geniza. Who put in Geniza? Yeshayahu. 22 years before the Churban, even more, he realized Yoshiyahu. Yoshiyahu died. 22. He was killed by Paro Necho 22 years before the Churban by Yisrishon. Before that point in time, he knew there would be a Churban. He put the Aron in Geniza. And from that moment in time, there never was the Aron. The Bayashen, there was no Aron. So the question is, when you come to the Avodah, those last 22 years, the Bayis Rishon, and the entire 420 years of Bayasheni, it says in the Torah that the Kohen is supposed to go to the Kodesh HaKadosh and put the Keteres before the Aron. There is no Aron. You're supposed to sprinkle the blood. There is no Aron. In Achnami, you sprinkle the blood and you put the Keteres on the Mekoim, the place of the Aron. That's what is Sefer Melachim. Sefer Melachim is prophecy. Shlomo says, Vosim Sham, I put there in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, a Mokoim La'Aron. I sanctified the Mokoim. What does it say in Sefer Divrei Hayamim? Same Pasuk Yud Aleph, Vosim Sham, Es Ha'Aron. I put the Aron there in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Why? Divrei Hayamim is not prophecy. Let's talk about the facts. Let me tell you the story. It was in this year and this time, there was a great celebration. Shlomo built the Beis HaMikdash, and he actually took the physical Aron and he put inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim. I'm going to talk about what's going to be in the future, prophecy, a revelation, what's going to be after the Churban by Yisrishon and by Yisheni. That's not my focus of attention. That's not the point over here of Divrei Hayamim. But in Sefer Sefer Melach, I want to reveal to you secrets of what's going to be, and that's why it says Mokoyim Lar. It's a very simple example which opens up a whole new world in us understanding the difference in the same exact psukim, the nuances of expression there in Melachim and Shmuel. We're hinting to big, big events that are going to occur in the future, whereas here we're telling you the story, the way things happened. Okay. Okay, let's now go to Pasuk Yutes. Okay, up to Pasuk Yutes. Yutes, we're up to Pasuk Yutes. That's where we got up to yesterday. Ufanisa, Shlomo HaMelech is coming now. This is part of his prayer. Shlomo HaMelech is being mispalt Hashem Ufanis and is asking Hashem. Shlomo is in the middle of a very long prayer. Shlomo gets up on the platform. We learned yesterday. He stands on the platform. This thing called the Kiyar. We learned that it's not necessarily a wash basin. It was a platform that was five amos, a height of 3 amos. And he stands on the platform. He spreads out his hands towards heaven, and he's mispalel to Hashem in the presence of the entire Klal Yisrael. And here he says to Hashem, Rebbeinu Shleilam, Ufanisa, may you turn el tfilas avdecha to the prayer of your servant, v'el techinas to a supplication, Hashem Elokai. So he's saying, may you, Hashem, listen to my prayer. He's singing with my personal prayer. Now here's a very powerful expression we all will focus on in the Nusach of the Slichos. L'shmoya el harina v'yal hatzvila. Okay, everyone knows this. This is part of the Slichos. El harina v'yal hatzvila. This is where it comes from. May you listen to the rina, and the tefila rina is the song v'yal hatzvila. Asher avducha mispala l'fanecha, that your servant prays before you. Now this pasuk, let's first see what it says in the Mitzudos pasuk Yotes. Pasuk Yutes, there is no Pasuk Yutes Ufanisa. Lezos pina no el tefilasi. For this, may you turn to my prayer. Masha espal al ikar kavona akavonas to el sabayis. Shlomo here is saying, what is the purpose of this Beis HaMikdash I built for you? I want it to be a place of rina and tefila. of song and prayer. And may you, Hashem, always, throughout all the generations, listen to the prayers that are recited, that are expressed in this makom. Uvama yikra beis Hashem, and through these prayers, through the prayers, it will be called the beis Hashem. Let's see Rashi pasuk yud tes l'shmoel arina. Zotzaka. So Rashi over here learns very similar. Rina means to cry out. When there was a war, it says the people, they cried out to Hashem. Rina, Rina means to cry out. So a person, nas, he flees because of his sorrow. How do you read this? Al yispal ela b'tzakanasai b'seiser kachi b'hamikrois v'soif ha'ini mechiech shem aviyata teshma mimokam shivtcha l'mata shlo b'no el l'das kein l'hoirid bo shchina k'dei sheyeshev al oretz l'shma mimokam shivtcha el hatfilos sheyispal lubo. That when every person,
it's connected. Nos
is to flee. What?
Adam shu nos b'tzaras. So alis palal ela b'tzakas or b'seser.
Pasuk yutches and yutches go together. He's saying, "Ki alum nam yeshev af only ki abayis zeshem v'nisi u'v'nisa el tvil sardecha."
So what does he mean by that? What do you mean by that?
That what he said. In pasuk yutches he says, what does Hashem need
to combine the two psukim?
Kol Hashemayim lo yachalkecha. Ah, but
yeah.
Ki abayis hazeh shebanisi, I bought it shol fanisa on tefil sabdecha.
In this bias which I built, that's where you shall turn. In this bias, okay.
It's okay, so have a problem. They will yell for this bias.
Okay.
And you will turn there to accept that's
good. Okay. Kachi b'hamikros. That's, you have to connect the two psukim. Okay, excellent. Okay. So this is what Shlomo HaMelech is saying, that may you turn to the Rina. So according to Rashi, Rashi is similar. The Rina is another expression of Tzaka, as he proves from this pasuk in Sefer Melachim, where there was a tzara, there was a war, they were under attack, and the people cried out. Vatavar harina b'machaneh. Other Mepharshim learned the word Rina a little bit differently. They would say Rina to mean Torah. Okay, we know that Torah is called a Shira. Rina is an expression that's a synonym for song. And basically, Chazal, and indeed they learned from this, that there's such a concept that a person should daven in the same place where he learns. It used to be in ancient times, there were two separate buildings. There was a Beis Medrash and a Beis HaKnesses. The two did not overlap. Not like today. In other words, in the Beis Medrash, there was learning 24/7. There were no minyanim. There were no davening. If you wanted to daven, because the truth is, Mikra did a person that's Oisik and Torah, the Oisik and Talmud Torah, you are potter from davening. You need not daven. You're exempt. If you want to daven, your person feels that he needs to daven, he has a tzorich, so you go to the Beis HaKnesses. The Beis HaKnesses, there are three zmanim, there's a shachris, there's a mincha, and there's a ma'arif. In the Beis HaKnesses, there's no learning. Because the Beis HaKnesses, in fact, has more kedusha than the Beis HaMedrash. In the Beis HaMedrash, you can sleep, you can eat, you can shmooze, you can do all these things, that the sanctity of the Beis Medrash is not the same as the sanctity of the Beis HaKnesses. So you can't mix, because if you were learning in the Beis, when a person learns, you, by nature, you have to loosen up. You have to speak. You have to sometimes take a put your head down for a few moments. There are things you have to do in the Beis HaMedrash. You can't do those things in the Beis HaKnesses. In the Beis HaKnesses, where there's an Oroin, and you're coming to be Oyvel Lefnei HaMelech, there's a much greater degree of sanctity. So the two are completely separate. That was how it was in the time of Chazal. However, Abaye says that in time of the Amoraim, that already changed. Abaye said that when B'mokom with the Darsh in this pasuk, Rina is Torah, and Tfil, of course, is Tfilah, and Chazal Darshan, B'mokom Rina Shom Tehei Tfilah. That Abaye said that you'll have greater siyata deshmaya in your koyach tefila if your koyach tefila is expressed as an outgrowth of the inspiration you derive through learning Torah. And the Gemara says that he davened, that's what he did. He davened in the same place where he learned. Was there a minyan? Was there not a minyan? That's debatable. If Abai had a minyan, he davened between the pillars where he learned Torah. Again, and the concept is, Torah brings simcha, and tefillah is greatly enhanced only through simcha. If a person davens Hashem mitoch simcha, then he's certain his tefillah is certain to be accepted. Yeah?
I think you gave us a minor in Chazal once where somebody was urging somebody to hurry up their tefillah so they can get back to their learning.
Yeah.
Why are you spending so much time with the davening?
Yeah.
Got to come back. Didn't you? So that would show that the emphasis
would be... If the Gemara says that if you close your ears from Torah, gam tefillah soy to'eva. A person doesn't want to listen to Torah, so his tefillah is an abomination. That's very similar. It borders on this concept here as well. But here he's saying that b'mokoyim rina, in the place of song, there should be prayer. Rina is Torah. And in fact, what was in the Beis HaMikdash? The Lishkas HaGozis. The highest court of the land was located where? In the Beis HaMikdash. Think about the secular world today. Is there even such a concept in the secular world today that they'll have a church in the government? You have the capital. You have the place of the government where they make laws. Then you have the house, you'll have the senate, you'll have all these different, and then there are churches. In the Goyish world, there's no such concept of merging the two, of the place where you pray to God is going to be the same place where you study the laws of the country and you enact laws. No such thing. But by Klal Yisrael, we have the Torah min Hashamayim. The two are merged together. Part of the Lishkas HaGaz was mamish inside the kedusha of the Azar. The two must come together. The pasuk also says, "Yer," a famous pasuk, "Yer af olav sichi, anochi esmach b'Hashem." May my sichi ein siach ela tefila. May my siach be pleasing before you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Anochi I esmach, take a rejoice in Hashem. Rina is joy. Rina is a song of joy. The song of joy that comes from the study of Torah. The b'mokom rina shante tefila, and this pasuk as well, only when there's going to be the joy of Torah, then can we be guaranteed that my prayer, yerev alav sichi, my prayer will be pleasing before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, so this is one very interesting concept, that there is a maila of davening in the place where you learn, and that's the way it is today. This trend has changed from the time of the Amoraim, Abai and Rava, where they already made mention of this new concept of davening the place where you learn. And today, every single Beis Medrash is unheard of not to have a minyan for mincha, and the bigger the Bati Midrashim, the more the yeshiva davening, everyone knows something called the yeshiva davening. This is a davar pashat admo for the last 1,000 years, that there's something to a davening in a place of learning, combining the two together. Okay, now there's another very important concept that Chazal learned from this pasuk, and that is the concept of Hashem sifasai tiftach ufia giti losecha, a prayer for a prayer. What do you do when you pray? You pray to Hashem. Hashem, please help me. I have all these needs. Is there such a concept that you should pray before you pray that I should be successful in my prayer? A prayer for the prayer. Now, there are many examples of this. Every single day, tefillah begins with Hashem sifasai tiftach ufi agiti lasech. What does that mean? You're praying to Hashem that you should be successful in davening Shemona Esrei. I pray to Hashem, please let me be mechavein all of the words of Shemona Esrei. And the Yavim Noirohim, one of the most eloquent, most beautiful tefillahs is the Hinini. Before the Shliach Tzibur gets up to daven, he is mispalel that he should be successful. Oichila, okay, oichila before the avoda, before the special parts of the Shemona Esrei and the Musaf, there's a thing called oichila, a prayer which the Shliach Tzibur davens. What exactly is that prayer all about? He's asking Hashem that he should be successful in going forward and saying these extra prayers in the Musaf of Shemona Esrei. We have Heye im Shluchi Amcha Beis Yisrael. Another prayer. Nusach Ashkenaz, it's said by the Shlich Tzibur himself. And Nusach Svar, many times it's not even said by the Shlich Tzibur, it's said by the people and someone else. The people in the Tzibur, someone in the audience, is mispalo that the Shliach Tzibur should be successful. Where does it come to such a concept that you should pray, that you should be successful in prayer? It comes from here. Here, Shlomo HaMelech is being mispalel, Ufanisa, may you Hashem, may you turn el tfilas avdecha. I'm praying that you should listen to our prayers. Isn't that repetitious? Just pray. No, there is something to it, to pray that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should accept your prayers. Ufanisa, tfilas avdecha v'el techinaso, Hashem, you shall turn to the prayer and to techinaso Hashem Elokai, l'shmoya el harina v'el ha-tfila, asher avdecha mispalel alech l'fanecha, that your servant prays to you. So this is where this idea comes from. Now, what exactly is the prayer? Yeah? You can't run into the king's chamber. You've got to speak to Hisham. Right, right, right. But even more than that, it's an actual formal prayer that Hashem should accept our prayer. Okay, let's see. Pasuk Kav, what exactly is my prayer? May your eyes be opened. Very interesting imagery. May your eyes be opened El Habayis Hazeh Yoimam V'Layla,
day and night, El Hamokim, to the place Asher Amarta, which you have said, Losum Shimcha Sham, that you have acknowledged, you have said yourself that you will rest your Shechina there, you'll put your name there, Lishmoya El Atfila, Asher Yispal Avdecha, to listen to the prayer, Asher Yispal, so that you're certain, in the singular, referring to every single person that comes to the base of the Yispalel, El Hamokim Hazeh, Vishamat Pasachafalef, Vishamata, you will listen El Tachanune Avdecha to the supplications of your servant, that I'm spal el towards Hamokim Hazeh. The Ata Tishma, you will listen from your abode, your dwelling place, min Hashemayim. The Shamata, you will listen with Soloch, and you will forgive them for their sins. Okay, so this is the basic introduction to his prayer, to what the Shlomo HaMelech is asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Let's take a look at the few psukim. Let's take a look at the Mitzudas Pasuk Chof. This is my prayer. My prayer is that you, Hashem, throughout all generations, should listen, should pay close attention to the prayers that are being recited in this location. El Hamokim Hazeh, B'mokim Hazeh, V'chein, El V'el Aron, or Mishpatu V'Aron means, El just means, in this place. Just like I ask that you listen to my prayer, I'm also asking you, Hashem, that you should listen to the prayer of every single individual that comes here. May you listen to the prayers of the entire nation. Not that you shall Lo shet rot viato tishma rot loimar lo shetoshev po lishmoya kiemat filo he osui poi yishma el hashamayim. Not that it should remain here, not that the prayer should remain in this location and stop here, but instead the prayer should ascend to the highest heaven. Lo shetoshev po lishmoy kolecha ratfilo he osvi po yishma el hashamayim utzakabel berachamim v'sislach la'avon hamispalul. The prayer should be accepted. It should not just be a supplication that does not produce results. I'm asking you, Hashem, that the prayers that are recited here should produce results. The results shall be they should ascend to heaven, and you will forgive the people for their sins through their prayers. Okay, what is Ratzi Rashi? Rashi says, and everyone when they pray to you, period. Okay, let's go to Pasuk Chaf Beis. Now Shlomo HaMelech begins a whole long list of examples. It's very interesting. He's going through all the different scenarios why and when people would daven in the Beis HaMikdash. So here he starts. Im yecheto ish l'reyev, a person would sin to his friend. V'nasavo olah l'ha'aloisai, and a person would bring upon himself a curse. Okay, a person would cause a curse to be uttered against him because of his sins. V'nasaba means he will be guilty. He will be chayev, a curse due to his sins. Uva ola lifnei, same case. Uva ola lifnei mizbachacha babayis hazeh, and the person will swear before the mizbeach. V'ata tishma min, let's see, there's few psukim. V'ata tishma min hashemayim, you will listen from heaven. V'yasisa, you will do v'shafatita es avdecha, and you will judge your servant. L'hashiv l'rasha, and you will repay the wicked. L'aseis darko b'rosho u'lehatzdik tzadik, and to give reward to the righteous. L'aseis lo kitzit kaso. Let's look at the mitzudos pasuk chaf beis and chaf gimel. Pasuk chaf beis. Ish l'riyehu b'dvar momen. Let's say there's going to be a situation where a person sins to his friend with regard to money. This is the nasa bayala, the chayiv bayichayiv shvua lehashbiyon, and because of this disagreement, there's someone is chayiv shvua. Uva ala ratzulam aviyishav lefnei mizbechacha, and the ala will come for you mizbech, and a person will swear. So then, may you Hashem take the shvua seriously and punish the wicked and reward the righteous. Pasuk of gimel. L'rasha, l'hashiv l'rasha kigmula, according to what he deserves, l'hashiv darko b'rasha, to punish him, to give him his dues, just dues, im hanishba l'sheker, if the person that comes before the mizbeach, if he swears, the person is guilty, and he's chayiv shvua, and he comes before the mizbeach, before the holy place, and he makes a shvua, and he swears falsely, may you Hashem bring retribution upon the guilty party and punish him for his full shvua. L'hashiv... Why is it's a good question. He wants to bring out the kedusha is real. He's illustrating that. Don't think that this is just a museum. The Beis Hamikdash is not a museum. It's serious business. It's
instructing Hashem. It's almost like teaching Hashem his business.
Well, no, he's just saying that it should be. There should not be hester upon him. If a person makes a shul, he makes a false oath, he immediately should be cut down. Immediately should be apparent that he's guilty, and Hashem should do things, should bring about things that the world will see the person swore falsely. That's the famous Ramban. Ramban explains what's the difference between living in Chutz Liaretz and living in Eretz Yisrael. Ramban says in Eretz Yisrael, the midah k'neged midah is very quick. A person does something, let's say in Chutz Liaretz, he does an aveir, he does a ma'aseh tzedakah, he does a very good deed of kindness. In Chutz Liaretz, it can take 20, 30 years until Hashem rewards him. And maybe Hashem will reward his children, his grandchildren. And when his children, or grandchildren, or the person himself, all of a sudden has a good fortune, he gets a great job, he's successful, everyone likes him, he's mitzlich in learning, but he'll say, why did I deserve this? What did I do in my life that I deserve such good fortune to have such good children and marry them off and all of these wonderful things happen? I don't know. If he would study his whole life, he'll go back 30 years ago, he'll realize 30 years ago he did a very great act of kindness and Hashem is rewarding him. Let's say Rachman Litzan the other way around. A terrible tragedy happens to a person and why did I deserve this? What did I do? And he studies his ways, and he can't figure out. But if we go back 40 years, oh, I taka deserve it. There was an almana, there was a yosem, and I harassed them. I did terrible things to them. Ah, Hashem says, Kim tzoy kitzake lai shmoy eshmat tzakosa. It says in the Torah, brisk kusa. It says in the Torah, if you go and you cause tzar to an almana or a yosem, terrible things are going to happen. Problem is, it's been 40 years since that happened. He doesn't remember. That's the problem living in Chutz Liaretz. The midah k'neged midah is very slow. The Ramban says, in Eretz Yisrael, it's very swift. And people have to say this, people who live in Eretz Yisrael, people who made Aliyah, you hear people who lived a significant part of their life in Chutz Liaretz, and they made Aliyah, or vice versa, they tell you stories that this Ramban, it's so true. In Eretz Yisrael, Hashem's Derech, dealing with people, midah k'neged midah, Hashem is your shadow. Whatever you do, the way you relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the way you relate to other people, that is the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu relates to you. That is absolutely true wherever you live in the world. But in Eretz Yisrael, it's going to happen in a much quicker time frame. So that's really what Shlomo is being mispal to Hashem. A person comes to the Beis HaMikdash, show it to them. He swears falsely before the Mizbeach, he commits a terrible crime. Show it to them, punish them right away. Let the world see that if you swear falsely, you'll get what you deserve. Let's see the Chachav Pasach Gimel and Mitzudas. Lahashul Rasha, Kigmula, Lahashul Darko Rasha, Im Hanishpil Shaker, Im Hamashpil Bechinam, the person swears falsely, or if a person swears for no reason, Lufisham Lamala, Vishamat Vislachta, and because the previous Pasach says that when a person comes to Beis HaMikdash, he prays, may you listen to his supplication, and may you forgive him, may his prayer produce results, Amr Al Zer Le Tislach, here, Hashem, don't forgive. When should you forgive a person? That's not when he comes and he has charata. But when a person abuses your name by swearing falsely, here, Hashem, fakir, don't forgive them. Hoil v'chil habayis, he has disgraced the sanctity of the bayis in Hashem with his false shua. Ulhatzik tzadik, ima nishpa b'yemes, ima mishra v'tzedek, reward the person. Let's take a look at Rashi, Pasuk Chof, Beis, and Chof Gimel. Okay, so now he's coming, he's now going away from his private supplication, Shlomo, and he's coming to over here addressing to Kol Yisrael. If a person, if he's chai v'shua, and he comes to the Mishnah swears falsely, the one that brought him to Af Hamashpia Kar Rasha, the one that made him swear is also called a Rasha. Rashi is saying a very big chiddush is that if you are the cause of someone swearing falsely, you're also guilty. If you know that a person is going to swear falsely, if you know that what are those words of the Rashi? Vanishba nishba l'sheka ato tishma shmaim v'im hadin im hanishba. If the one that swears is correct, shabal hadin. Here's the case. A person owes money. He owes money. The person is innocent, does not owe any money. Reuven says to Shimon, you owe me $1,000. And Reuven knows good and well that Shimon does not owe him any money. However, Reuven wants to take advantage. Reuven says, you know what, why don't you swear? If you'll swear in the Beis HaMikdash, then you won't have to pay. Make a shvua. So Reuven is causing Shimon to swear falsely. So really, nothing really happened wrong in this situation. Shimon comes to the Beis HaMikdash, and he makes a shvua. I don't owe Reuven one penny. Has Reuven done anything wrong? Has Shimon done anything wrong? No. Shimon has made a shvua shel emes. However, was there a purpose in him saying Hashem's name and making the shvua? No. Because Reuven knows that Shimon is saying the truth. So why then is Reuven making Shimon swear for fun? Because maybe Shimon won't want to swear, and if Shimon won't want to swear, then I'll steal his money. So I might as well have some fun. I might as well force Shimon to make a shvua, And that way, if he won't want to make the shvua, I'll be able to extract from $1,000. So it turns out that Reuven is causing Shimon to make a shvua for no reason whatsoever. Who is guilty in this case? Reuven is guilty. You've caused your friend to swear for no reason. That itself is called a sin. Pasuk of Gimel Rashi, Ulahatzik Tzadik, Shloi La'an Shai Alashua, Shari B'emes Hu Nishba, V'tasev to the Seyit V'farish, and the person that makes a shvua for a good reason, you will declare him righteous, and he will not be punished. And now the Gemara, V'tasev to the Seyit V'farish, Es Asher Yechta, Boil Eish Asish. Okay, so here the Gemara makes a drasha. The Pasuk refers to a person that has relations with a married woman. Okay, that's the case here. Asher Yechta, V'nosa Bo Allah, the chayiv Allah curse. What's the curse? The curse is soita. Kishem shamayim boitkim oisah, kach hamayim boitkim osah, lefnei mizbechecha, kitosiv it says, vehemet hakoines isha, loseis ledarkoi beroishah, kitosiv tzavsa bitna, ulahatstik tzadik, the siv, the nikas of nizra zera. So according to the Gemara, the Tosefta, the Masech, the soita, this entire pasuk refers to the parasha of a soita. What's the parasha of a soita? A man accuses his wife of infidelity, of having a relation with another man. So he takes her, what is the halacha? So once he warns her, he's not allowed to be with her, he takes her to the Beis HaMikdash, he gives her to drink the water. So the halacha is, the only time the water is going to test the woman and cause her to die or to be blessed, if she's innocent, is only if her husband, the one that is causing her to swear, is also a tzaddik. Let's say her husband, the one that's accusing his wife of being mizaneh, was also mizaneh. Now, technically speaking, if a man is born on a woman that's not a married woman, a man is not allowed to have more than one wife. He has not done anything wrong. But if the husband has been nichshol in arayos, meaning that he was born on an eshes ish, then the waters will not work. The waters, the test that he does for his wife by having his wife drink from the mei soita, will not cause his wife to die, because he is just as guilty as his wife. Just like his wife possibly had relations with another man, so if this man had relations with an eshes ish, he's also guilty. The waters are not going to work. So therefore, nothing happens. Therefore, the entire curse was your moitzi. So what happens over here is that you are responsible for a very great sin of causing Hashem's name to be erased in vain. Nechikas Hashem. Part of the procedure of Saita is you take Hashem's name and you erase it in the Mehamarim and you give the woman to drink. How are you allowed to erase Hashem's name? That's a disgrace. Torah makes an exception. Because by erasing Hashem's name, you're going to do one of two things. Either you're going to bring Shalom Bayis, now there's going to be peace between the husband and wife, or there's going to be, she'll be blessed, she'll have children. V'nikisa, she'll be innocent. V'nizra or zera, she'll have a child. So for these two reasons of causing her to die, or causing her to live and have children, for that you're allowed to erase Hashem's name. But if the test is not going to work because the person, the husband, is also guilty, then you're erasing Hashem's name and the results will not be produced. So it's mechikas Hashem for no reason. That is how the Tosefta Darshan is pasuk. Im yechata ish liriehu. So here's the drasha. Go back to the pasuk. According to Rashi's citation of the Tosefta, if a person yechata ish, who's the ish? The husband. The husband is also guilty. The husband himself was born on an eshes ish. And now the husband makes believe he's a tzaddikal, and he says, my wife, she's a guilty woman. She was playing around with someone in a room locked up. So, and then what the husband now says to his wife, come, I suspect you are mizaneh. And he utters the curse in the Beis HaMikdash by erasing Hashem's name and the curse that's recited by the Kohen, Uba Olo Lefnei Mizbachacha, and now this curse comes before the Mizbeach, because that's where the earth is, the oath is said in front of the Mizbeach, the Beis HaZeh, the Ata Tishma Min HaShemayim, and you Hashem will listen to this earth that's said in the Beis HaMikdash, V'yositza, you will do V'shafata Es Avodecha, and you will judge. You will judge everyone here accordingly. Le'hashiv Rasha, to give punishment to the wicked, if the husband is guilty and he was now instrumental in causing Hashem's name to be erased, he will suffer punishment as well. Or if the wife is guilty, the husband is innocent, the wife is guilty, she will die. And law says, "Lodarka b'rosha ulahatzik tzadik." If indeed the woman is innocent, the husband is innocent, then they'll be rewarded with having children. Law says, "Loi kitzit kasei." So this entire pasuk is darsh in reference to the seita, and the main point that we need to express here is yechata ish. There's such a concept that if the ish, the husband, is guilty, then he also will have problems with the parasha of sota. Okay, pasuk. Another reason. Pasuk yud chavdal. V'iminogef amchal yisrael lefnayif. Another reason why a person would daven. Let's say there will be a war, and we will fall in battle. Ki yechatu lakozayav sin v'shavu hodu hashemecha. They will come now. They will return v'hodu hashemecha. Now here the word hodu is used in an unusual. It means they will confess. Hoida normally means to give thanks, but hoida also means confession. They will confess their sins. Vidui. What is vidui? Vidui means to admit. It comes from the word hodu. Hodu also means to confess. Moda ani means I admit. But moda also means thanks. When a person gives thanks, it's an expression of admission. I acknowledge that I have received more than I deserve. And I don't deserve it, meaning I'm guilty. not deserving is synonymous with being guilty, and you've given me more than I deserve. That's what really hodu means. V'hodu Hashemecha, they will confess their sins. V'spalu, they will pray. V'schanu lufanecha b'ayis hazem. Pasuk hafei, v'yata tishman Hashem shemayim. If Klal Yisrael will fall in battle, and they will pray, you will listen in Hashemayim. V'solachta l'chatas amcha Yisrael. V'hashev osam el hodama. And you will restore them to the land. Asher nasat l'chem la'voseim, that you have given to them and to their forefathers. So here he's telling us another concept, is that he's alluding to the fact that there's going to be a point in time in history when there's going to be a korban. And the Farshim, there are midrashim on this that say that in this pasuk, especially when you go back to the psukim in Melachim, there is an acknowledgement that there's going to be a korban bias, and there's going to be galus. They're going to go far. They're going to go. And here is a very powerful idea where Shlomo is saying that they will pray. They will pray Tishma min Hashemayim, meaning through the Beis Hamikdash. Even though they'll be Golus, they'll go into Golus, they'll pray. Their prayers will still, through this Beis Hamikdash, will ascend to heaven. And indeed, that's why we daven Mizrach. This one, these psukim are some, not exact words, but many of these psukim teach us the halacha that when you daven Shemona Esrei, you're always supposed to face Mizrach. You're always supposed to face Yerushalayim, because this is the Shar Hashemayim. Here he's making it very clear that that's true even when the Beis Hamikdash is destroyed. There's going to be a Magefa. We're going to Golus, and we're going to confess our sins, and we're going to pray. May you Hashem listen min Hashemayim, meaning listen from Shemayim through the medium of this Mokom, even though the Mokom is no longer in existence, and you'll listen to our prayers. Let's take a look at Pasuk of Dal and Chafei in the Mitzvot. Ki Yechatu, Kasha Yechatu, V'Hashiv Osim, Rasulam, Kasha Yetzu, Oil L'Muchama, Lo Ye'oi Negafim, will no longer go into captivity, but they will return to the lands through their prayers. Kisanim, Yeshuva Mechatom, they will do tshuva from their sins, Lamana Shertanim, Beisat Sara, so you'll answer them in the time of need, Vlame Avas Hamakom, not because of your love. You will listen because they do tshuva. We will deserve that Hashem will listen to our prayers. Viata Tishma, Im Shalosh Shavu Me'ava, even though they have not done tshuva me'ava, but just the fact that we have done tshuva, that we have confessed our sins, the vidui alone can accomplish great things. Even though we do not do tshuva me'ava, at least acknowledging our sins can do very great things. Okay, there's a Rashi, then we'll tell you one interesting idea from the Chofetz Chaim. Okay, Chavav Behatz Pasuk of Dal and Rash, Inogif Amecha, Voloy Mibnei Shiyotcha Ketzarim Leoshia, Eladover Zegorim Kiyechatulach. If your people will be smitten, not because Hashem you're limited. The reason why your people will suffer, they'll fall in battle, is because they have sinned. The Shav Vahoydu Eshemecha, they will acknowledge their sins. Pisrod Vihisvadu Es Avoinam, they will confess their sins. V'ho'achrin mechich, how do we know that the word v'hodu means to confess? V'achrin mechich, v'hoidu Hashimcha, u'mechatosom yoshuvun ki sa'anem. Since at the end of the pasuk it says they will return to you from their sins, that is a revelation that when it says v'hodu, it doesn't mean they'll give thanks, they'll give praise, but it means confession. Here Rashi is teaching us that the word v'hodu in this pasuk means to confess. And it's clear from the context. V'hashiv osam, v'hashiv osim el adama, and through their confession you will return them to the land. Ki kishenoiflim v'negav, because when they fall and they are smitten l'fnei oivehem, toivse mashi chol shichalim, mivim oisam b'shvil eres acheres, because the pasuk over here is just telling us, what do you mean they're going to return? Because when they fall in battle, what happens? That's what the enemy does. That was the custom in ancient times, that you take your enemy into captivity. So when we fall in battle, our enemy will take us into bubble, to galus, into captivity, and then we will cry out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in prayer through the Beis Hamikdash, and we will confess our sins, and Hashem will then restore us, will allow us to return. Okay, there's a very, very powerful concept in this pasuk here that Chofetz Chaim develops, and it's really alluded to in last week's parasha on Yaakov Avinu Katointi, Mikol HaChasodim, Mikol HaEmes. In last week's parasha, okay, parasha Yishlach Yaakov Avinu, he sees that he's going to battle with Esav. Esav is coming. Esav has 400 men. Yaakov is afraid. Vayir Yaakov mod vayetzel vayachat sama shavito vayesatzem yesabok vesamol shemachnot tzayim emiroyse v'machne v'ko vayu amachne hanishol lefleito. What's Yaakov worried about? Yaakov Avinu was promised. He was promised that he would do that. That Hashem would help him. Kotointi mikol hachasadim mikol enes. Rashi pasuk yud aleph kotointi. Nismatu zichu yoisai. My merits have been diminished. Al yidei hachasadim v'emes shasisi ma'i. Lokech ani yare. I'm afraid. Here come the key words. Shema mishehiv tachtani. From the time that you promised me, going back 22 years ago, you promised me that do not worry. Hashem said, I'll be with you. I'll take care of you. Do not worry. Nislachti b'chet. I become filthy in chet. Lichluch. It's a very powerful word. Lichluch. V'yigroim li lihimoser b'yad Esav. And there's a very big debate among the Bali Musa. What is the meaning of betochon? Person, he's in trouble. He's in an ace tzara. He's in a very difficult situation. He's trying to pull himself out of. So what should he do? He should have faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Chovis HaLevavos is mashma. From the words of Chovis HaLevavos is mashma, that to have faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you have to be a tzaddik. You have to do tshuva. You have to be cleansed from all of your sins. Chavetz Chaim disagrees. Chavetz Chaim and other Bali Musar, that's not what it means, betochen. Betochen does not mean you have to be dovek in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. All betochen means is you have to acknowledge that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can help. You don't have to be a tzaddik. You can be molei chet, full of sins, and you have yet to do tshuva, and yet to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You just have to know where you stand. You just have to know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can help me, and I need you now. I have faith that you can help me, and that's enough. That's all that's required of you to demand from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that He help you, assist you in getting through your difficult matzav. The word nislachlachti means, why is it? What am I afraid of Yaakov? Yaakov Avinu says, I'm here for 22 years, so I'm no longer dovek b'Kadosh Baruch Hu. I'm osik in business. I'm dealing with Lavan. I'm dealing with things that are not spiritual. I have been diminished in my spiritual stature. That's not what Yaakov was afraid of. That's not why he was concerned that he would be harmed by Esav. What he was concerned about is lichluch, that is filth. Just because you take away filth doesn't mean you're beautiful. If you have a room, and the room is an ugly room, just bare walls, a floor and a ceiling, is the room filthy? No. Is the room beautiful? Absolutely not. It's nothing special. Yaakov Avinu said, the reason why I am afraid that Esav will harm me and my family is because lichluch, there's filth. That's what I'm afraid of. If I'll remove the filth, then I'll be okay. But what do you mean I'll be okay? Where is the ahava, the love, the splendor, the beauty, the yoifi of being dovek b'Kadosh Baruch Hu? You don't have that. You don't need it. You don't need that in order to come on to the salvation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's exactly here what Shlomo Melech is saying. Shlomo Melech is saying, "Ki Nogiv Klal Yisrael will be smitten. They'll be harmed in battle. You know, they'll be Ki Nogiv Amcha Yisrael Lefnei Oyev Ki Yachtulach." It doesn't say here they have to come and do tshuva me'ava from love and do special chasadim and learn Torah and daven. All it says is the hoidu es shemecha. Confess. Acknowledge your sins. Know where you stand. And that's it. That's all you need. V'espalu v'eschananu lufanech v'ayisazev yata Hashem will say, that's enough. Tishvam in Hashemayim v'solachta. That's enough. That's enough to be saved from your enemy and to return to Eretz Yisrael. This solachta lechatas amcha Yisrael fahashevosam el ho'adama. That's all you need, and you will be returned to the land asher nasat elohem l'avoseihem. We make a mistake and believe that in order for Mashiach to come, in order to have kibbutz galus, to come back to the Beis HaMikdash, we have to do exceptional things. We have to give incredible amounts of tzedaka, to learn Kol HaTorah Kula, to quit our jobs, and be oisik in Tar Mitzvahs. That's not what it says. All it says is, just know where you stand. Confess your sins, know where you stand. That is more than enough. That's what it says here, very clearly in these two psukim, and that's what the Chofetz Chaim says, Yaakov Inu said, here I am, I'm about to be slaughtered by my brother Esav. And what's the problem? Lichluch. I'm filthy. Get rid of the filth. You don't have to beautify yourself. You don't have to focus on the positive. Just get rid of the filth. And that will be enough to save yourself from Esav. Okay, with that we'll stop.